Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight is such, well, I guess tonight is my time, but it could be today still in your time. Tonight is going to be such an amazing show. I have all of the hosts of Authentic You Radio here with me on air, and we're all going to take a look at the shift. And, you know, my show is based on surviving the shift and how to navigate it. And, of course, most of us, you know, even the spiritual people, or the less spiritual people, I guess you could say, the ones that really aren't the believers, are even feeling some of the effects of what some of the New Agers call the shift. And, you know, I have such a variety of hosts and wisdom and knowledge to share with you tonight. So I don't want to take any extra time to really explain it other than the fact that we're going to be talking about the shift. And we're going to get everyone's point of view. So let's get started. We're going to start with Jeff Brown. Now, Jeff's got a show on the network called Sustainable You, and I'd like to give the floor over to Jeff. So, Jeff, the question today for you is, I would like, it's kind of a two-part question tonight, and the first part is, can you share a personal experience that you had with the shift? So an experience where you could share with the listeners something that involved an interpersonal shift for you, something where you were stepping into your authentic self. And the second part is sharing your best piece of advice to the listeners on how to navigate their own personal shift. So take it away, Jeff.
Okay, Michelle, appreciate it. Just as you mentioned that, I'm standing out outside of one of the great halls of academia here in Los Angeles. And so if I get interrupted, it might be a student asking me a question. But it's interesting. I really like this because there's a lot of shifts going on. You know, there's personal shifts going on. There's economic shifts going on. There's spiritual shifts going on. There's a lot of shifts going on. And oftentimes I found in my personal life and also professional and in the world in general, the reason why we have great shifts usually is there's oftentimes a lot of calamity and difficulty and trials. And from those trials, people start recognizing what's important in their lives, such as, you know, we're having serious shifts in the academic world, K through college, suffering a lot of issues, and people are struggling to keep up a failed system. And I don't think we need to keep a failed system. We need to shift. And that's what I find in my personal life, and I also find in the academic life. And also, if you look at things world political and world economic, that shift or needed shift is also critical. You know, there's a critical need for change, and change is hard, and a lot of people don't want to change, so they think they want to keep the status quo. But the status quo, oftentimes, not the best way to go. So, but in my personal life, I had a huge shift. Probably coming at one of the most difficult times of my life. I was going through a lot of emotional turmoil in my late 20s. And I feel I have great company because Abraham Lincoln had an emotional breakdown at 27. That was my emotional breakdown period. I thought it was kind of early, but nevertheless, that's when it occurred. But it was a time in my life for a great need to shift and change. I was living in Connecticut, and I had this unrelenting motivation to move on, to move physically, to move geographically, and also in my career and life. And I moved to Boston. And of all things, went from doing computer programming during the day and began doing stand-up comedy, which, you know, you think, wow, there's a very important shift. But in the long run, it did turn out to be pretty important. It helped me really to make some major changes, which really came in line with making some really difficult choices and changes in my life. So that was a personal shift that really got me going. And I just had one today, as a matter of fact. I seem to be having a ripple of shifts happening in my life now. And the thing that people have to realize, and I think that was the second part of your question, you know, the thing that people have to realize in their personal lives, and I think we also have to realize in the larger political picture, you know, in our social and political lives, nationwide even, is that sometimes You got to make changes. It's hard. It's difficult. Very painful at times. But it would be more difficult and painful and less productive to stay as you are, to stay in the status quo, to stay in a failed system, stay in a failed way. So I think the key there for most people on a small and large scale is, deal with the intuitive. Einstein said, intuition is everything. Not enough people follow the intuition. Einstein said that too many people follow the rational mind. Why follow the servant? Follow the master, which is your intuition. And I've been following my intuition for a long time, about the last 20, 25 years of my life. And in serving that master, I have found amazingly wonderful things happening, but it doesn't always come with ease and comfort. Oftentimes it does come with difficulty and trials and overcoming them and learning from them. They're great, great, great tools. You learn more from one trial or difficulty than all the trips to Disneyland or theme parks combined. So I hope that covers the question, the questions that you posed.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. We've already got rave reviews in the chat room from your segment, Jeff. So I think you're
cool.
Doing fantastic. Great.
Appreciate it, Michelle.
All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to the next person. Thank you so much, Jeff, for your words of wisdom and your story. And I think we'll move on next to Christine. So, Christine.
Hi.
So you've got the question, do you? It's a sharing of a personal experience that you've had with the shift and an inner shift of your own, and also sharing your best piece of advice to listeners on how to navigate their own personal shift.
Great. Well, I think what's interesting when you talk about a personal shift, the name of my business, Leader in Motion, I work with business leaders on changing behavior. And so for me, I think it's so interesting because it was definitely born out of a shift that I ended up in the business that I'm in. Back in 2008, I'd even say a couple years prior, I kept feeling like I wanted to be in business for myself and helping leaders create behavior change, create a more inspired workforce, and really bring some spirituality into the workplace. And I kept having this feeling that I wanted to create this and that I wanted to see more of this in the world. But what's so interesting is I kept working my day job, convinced that it was impossible for me to make that leap. So what I find fascinating about it is that over and over and over again, I couldn't quite shake the dream. And I kept taking these vacations and going, okay, now I'm going to sit down and really figure out what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure out this business. I'm going to figure out how to make it happen. And it just, every time I'd get somewhere, I'd kind of feel like it's not going to work. So it was so funny that I kind of made the leap in 2008 in September, ironically, about a week after Lehman Brothers went out of business, I decided to go into business. So I always say that my timing was pretty hilarious. But the part that's so interesting is when you're making a shift that really aligns with your higher self, there's something about it that you stay committed to. So I think when I was starting that business in that difficult economic time, there were so many times where I wanted to give up. There were so many times that I got scared and I wanted to go back to work for a big business and have the safety of a paycheck. And for me, I could feel in my heart that just made me sad. Something about going back to work and relying on that paycheck to live just kept making me sad because I knew I wasn't following my real calling. So for me, I always say it's a shift that happened. It's kind of amazing that it happened. And for some strange reason, just staying very committed to the fact that I knew I was there for a reason. I knew I was starting this business for a really important reason. And I knew that it was starting in 2008 for an important reason. Just by chance that I started during the worst economic meltdown of, the century. So anyway, I think for me, that's really where I can see that committing to that dream and that outcome is a big exciting part of what's happened as far as shifts in my life. And what's so interesting, I think the thing I learned, and I think to answer your second question, Michelle, what's the best piece of advice I could give to other people who are trying to navigate a similar shift? The thing that really helped me making, let's say, a career move like this was to do what I call the lily pad effect. So if you think of a frog and you jump onto a lily pad, instead of trying to figure out where you want to be all the way at the end, just try to figure out where you want to be next. So just make a leap in a direction that feels somewhat on path. And I think, you know, once you get to that new lily pad and you get comfortable again, you can turn around and assess where you're at, see if that makes good sense, and then take another leap. I found for me that in making a shift, sometimes we make it a much bigger, we make it a really big deal in our head, and we're so scared of how that's all going to manifest and unfold. So for me, I really had to just make the leap to get into my own business and, you know, be a consultant. And the first lily pad was, you know, just sell my first engagement. That's it. That's all I need to do. Just work with one client. And then from there, it was, okay, let's see if we can work on our next client. And now I'm starting to come up with methodologies and thinking of things of, you know, writing material, and I've created this radio show. So over the 4 years, the business has really blown, you know, grown, and I've got an employee now, and it's really starting to manifest and unfold. But I didn't try to worry about where that was going to end up, because that in itself made the shift so scary that I would be paralyzed from taking action. So like I said, my advice to people is when you feel called, just make that one step. Find the next lily pad that's just in front of you. Make the step and get comfortable there, because I think in a shift, you know, much to Jeff's point, you have shifts that are going to keep happening all the time. It's not that there's only one in your life. They're going to keep happening so often, pushing you, nudging you in the next best direction. So that's my answer.
I love that, because I think that's one of the things that people get hung up on is the fear factor, because it's way too much to think about in a big chunk. But when, you know, I like that analogy of the lily pads, because then you can break it down in smaller pieces and it's so much easier to grasp and navigate. So I love that. Thank you, Christine.
Great. Thank you, Michelle.
All right. So I think we're going to move on to the next host. Let's see. How about Heather? Heather, so the question is, just to reconfirm the question, sharing a personal experience that you've gone through in terms of an inner shift or the shift, mm-hmm. however you want to refer to it, and also your best mm-hmm. piece of advice to listeners on how to navigate their own personal shift. So take it away, Heather.
Thank you. Well, I know for me, factually, the last 3 or 4 years have been a huge just shifting, and really, you know, I don't know if it's just because of the way my brain works, but I think my whole life has been just about shifting and moving through stuff, and a lot of that just is, for me, has been part of my journey of deepening consciousness. But really, I mean, in terms of factually and recently, back in 2008, 2009, I was one of hundreds of teachers that was laid off from Atlanta Public Schools, where I was teaching preschool special education, and, you know, struggled because the economy in Georgia at the time, in the state of Georgia, was so bad. I mean, it was really, really off trying to get anything done, and didn't have health insurance. And at the time, I was taking medication for ADHD, depression, and asthma, which was just a nightmare. Couldn't make the rent, all that stuff. So I packed up everything and made the decision to come home to Canada. And that was for practical reasons, as well as, you know, emotional safety and all kinds of stuff. And in the process of that, I ended a 7.5-year relationship. My father died. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. And one of the beautiful things that's come out of all of this for me, and I'll talk about the practical ways in which I can offer assistance to other people, too, because I blogged about it today. A lot of really amazing things came out of it, and one of which was being led to neurodiversity coaching. I knew when I left the classroom that I wanted to coach and work with – I've only ever worked with children and adults with special needs, you know, anything in the realm of special education. And when I was introduced to the idea of neurodiversity, which is basically simply neuro of the brain, diversity, the state or fact of being diverse, different, or unlikeness, for me, my mission is a mission of compassion, and that is to help guide everyone to think more compassionately about themselves and everyone around them without judgment. And so for me to come to this place where, you know, I have a new business, it's moving along, you know, there are other big changes coming on in my life, and none of it would have been possible if I wasn't open to it. And I guess what I would say for folks like me who are different thinkers, and it was cute because Sarah in her show just the other day was talking about a wonderful book called Who Moved My Cheese, which is super for people like me with ADHD and autism spectrum issues because we're such control freaks. And we, you know, as a coach and as just even as a spiritual person, I'm also an ordained minister. I'm a Madonna minister. And I'm constantly advocating for change. You know, change is good, embrace change, blah, blah, blah. But when people like me have to actually do the changing, we completely flip out and shut down. Whether it's for a day or just quietly inside or whatever it happens, it's kind of what we do. So because, you know, as the book that Sarah alluded to, you know, when you somebody's touched your stuff or is requiring that you move, it's a big upheaval. And I actually blogged about this today, and some suggestions I have are, number one, stay organized. This will help you feel focused and grounded. Make lists and work with them. I'm all about making lists. Number two, feel all your feelings, all of them, but don't take them out on everybody around you because that's not fair. Number three, whatever medication, supplements, or diet things you have going on, follow them strictly to the letter of the law because this will help you feel safe, nurtured, and again, it will help you stay grounded. Number four, stay connected with the people you're leaving but detach with love, and that's if you're in the process of making a move. Nobody's leaving anybody. You have no excuses now with Skype, mobile phones, and the Internet, so be nice. You know what I mean? A lot of times when people are moving, they make drama and pick fights with people because they don't know how to say goodbye. And the truth is that if you have a real connection with someone, you're not saying goodbye, you're just moving. Number five, get enough sleep. Drink chamomile tea at bedtime, take magnesium or whatever your medical person tells you. If you're tired, no, you will not behave well with others, and that's not fair. And that's true of children or adults, you know, age 60. Number six, eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired, and ask for hugs when you need them. Number seven, be nice to yourself. Be compassionate. Moving can be hard. Number eight, find good memories and keep them. You know, not everything about making changes in your life is bad. And number nine, find excitement and joy. We all go through transitions. Change is healthy. And if you're willing to transition with gentleness and self-respect, it will go so much better than you imagine. That's my input.
Great. Love it. I always love hearing your point of view, Heather, because you are a different thinker, of course. And, you know, you're kind of my go-to person a lot of the time because you give me a different perspective on things because, you know, as much as I like to step out of the box, I think you're even more out of the box, so I value your opinion and your insights. So thank you.
That's probably why we get along well, because you're closer to the box than I am, and I try not to look at it if I can possibly help it. So we're a good balance.
I think so. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
All right, so let's move on to, let's see, I'm just going to randomly pick one here. How about CJ? Let's do you, CJ. So the question is, again, just to say it again, a personal experience of yours that involves inner shifting or the shift, whatever you'd like to say, and also your best piece of advice to listeners on how they can navigate their own personal shift.
Well, I think it's a wonderful question, Michelle, and this is what a great group we've got here, so I'm really happy to be doing this evening. You know, my life has been all about shift, and, you know, I agree with everybody that's been on so far. You know, lots of shifting going on, and certainly change is a good thing. You know, evolution's a wonderful thing. I think the personal experience that I've come up with, I know a lot of people have heard about some major shifts in my life through my show and everything, but probably a couple years ago, this would have been in 2010, I was kind of faced with having, you know, an infinite number of ideas and only, you know, one life to complete them in. And I came to this real crossroads, which we, you know, when we're in transition, we kind of come to these places where we have to make a choice. You know, we're going to go one way or the other. And so on one hand, I had Akashic Field Therapy, which is a method of resolving unresolved traumas that I had been working on since 2004. And the other hand was a much more near and dear to my heart, not that the therapy wasn't, because it certainly I was amazed at how well it helped everybody and all of this, but I had this book project that I had been working on for and putting, you know, picking up, putting down for 13 years called Angel Incarnate. And so here I was, you know, between, you know, we're all talking about you shifting into authentic you, shifting into our purpose, our mission, you know, what is it that we are passionate about with our hearts. And so I was kind of faced with probably the most difficult decision of my life. You know, do I continue to develop this method of therapy right now and just leave this book, or do I ultimately make a choice for myself? Because since I was a little girl, most people don't know it, but I wanted to be a novelist. I wanted to be an author. And so it's kind of scary, though, when we kind of put our own needs in front of, you know, in front of others, because I'm always a person that, you know, so compassionate, like the other hosts here, you know, empowering people, you know, and really being that person and being so integral to my own path and purpose. But for me, you know, and I like the lily pad reference too, early, you know, it's like, okay, well, I think I'm going to choose this lily pad now. And so I was able to get the book, but then I found that everything else, you know, started really, you know, when we know we're on the right path, things sort of expand and get, you know, bigger and bigger. And so it was definitely something that, you know, I had to kind of make this, you know, this choice to do what I really wanted to do. And see, I don't think in healing work or whatever that you do that we have to, it's like choose one or the other, but we're so black and white sometimes when we're trying to navigate, you know, that we kind of weigh things out into these extremes. So I personally had to, you know, make this shift that I felt at the time was a little selfish, but through that shift I realized there were blocks of finishing the story, you know, and I got to grow and expand from there, and you know, soon after that became a part of the Authentic, you know, You Network. And so, you know, I think sometimes when we're shifting it's scary, and so my advice, you know, to everyone, and I think that, you know, if we look at overall, there are major shifts happening, like Jeff alluded to the fact that, you know, there's systems that are broken, you know, so we can look at it from a political, economic perspective, you know, that these things are outdated, they no longer work, you know. And so, but from a spiritual perspective, huge awakening in consciousness, many more people realizing, I think Christine was talking about, you know, choosing to have that steady paycheck versus following the path and hopping from lily pad to lily pad like she did successfully. You know, with all of those shifts going on, you know, we're having to really face a lot of fear. And so I think fear is inherent to the system, you know, and the things that have helped me navigate is certainly to move from my heart overall. But, you know, the key things, especially with things changing and shifting, and everybody that's shifting, one person shifts and it affects everything else. We're also interconnected. So in order to navigate those shifts, like Heather was saying, you know, take care of your body, you know, and listen to your body, all of that. And the big things for me is to stay in the present moment, because I get too much anxiety if I'm worried about, you know, something that happened in the past or worrying too much about the future, kind of like Christine, you know, said, you know, just pick that one lily pad, do that one thing first. So I think being in the moment is very key. The other is acceptance, accepting all of ourselves. It's easy to accept the kind-hearted, nice person, you know, that we all want to be 100% of the time, but the other parts of ourselves we may not like very much, or in many cases with the work that I've done, you know, emotional acceptance. You know, we have the full spectrum. I have a little tiny funny story about getting angry. I could never get angry. And the angels really taught me, you know, how to get angry, because I would always gravitate toward looking at the bigger picture, you know, seeing everybody's potential rather than honoring that. So we have to honor our emotions and just accept. And, you know, they are what they are, just emotional expression. And you know, the other thing is to acknowledge our fear. Anytime we do something new, we're going to have fear, we're going to have uncertainty, we're going to doubt ourselves. But what people don't realize is if we acknowledge that the fear is there, then we can still make an active choice to do something even though we are afraid, right? So if we don't accept, you know, those things about ourselves that are just going to come up because we're human, and the angels are always teaching me about that as well. So as you're going through your daily life experiences, the shift's happening all around you, and some, you know, people are in crisis, or you might be in crisis because I've been through a lot of that myself. You know, just trying to breathe more, stay in the present moment, accept who you are in the full spectrum of all of that wonderfulness, and, you know, acknowledge the fear, but move through it. Make that choice. So that's my advice tonight.
Well, it's always wonderful to hear from the wise angel lady, as I like to call you. There's always much to be learned from what you have to say, and I always feel like even when you're talking so practically, from a practical level, it just it's almost like the angelic energy is always oozing from you. So there's, I'm listening intently to what you had to say, and I love every bit of it. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I think the two, you and I resonate as well, because I think you come from such a practical place, yet you work with the angels, which, you know, for most people is kind of airy-fairy, but you bring it into the practical realm, so I love that, and I love all of your words of wisdom every week, and including what you just said. So thank you, CJ.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Okay, so we've got a couple Skype callers in the queue, a couple of hosts that called in via Skype, so I guess we're going to play Russian roulette here to figure out who's who, and I think it's Allison and Alex and also Linda. So let's see who we have first. Is it Allison and Alex or Linda? Who's here?
Hello?
Hello? Is Allison and Alex, is it?
Yes.
Okay, all right, perfect. Okay, so you two are up next. And, okay, so just to say the question again, a personal experience that, I guess it's two of you, so we're going to have double the time, so you can each go in turn. A personal experience that you've had with the shift in your own life, and also your best piece of advice to listeners on how to navigate their own personal shift. Take it away.
Okay, this is Lady Hope, or Allison, my real name, from mom and dad. I'm definitely going to speak on something that I feel like I took as to like a shift for myself in a way, where I made a major decision in my life. It was 2 years ago now, I think, year and a half, where I had decided to get weight loss surgery. And most importantly for that was to finally decide that I needed a little bit of the help to become like a healthier person so I could stick around on this planet longer. Because I was kind of getting in a bad way, and I know that I had kind of unfortunately put myself there in some ways with not thinking correctly and not doing the right thing. And it has been brought up to me in other times in my life to maybe try that, but I wasn't ready. So when I finally decided it had to be my decision, other people who had suggested it to me, I kind of would freak out and be like, no, no, no. And then I got to a point where I wasn't afraid anymore, and I said, you know what, this is the right choice for me, so I'm going to go and do it. And it definitely was scary at first, and it was also scary because then you start seeing, I'm someone who definitely appreciates the lily pad analogy also, because I unfortunately have a hard time thinking that way at times, and I look at a huge, huge, bigger picture, and I get overwhelmed so easily instead of, like, taking my time. So there was a little bit of being nervous of how the change was going to affect not only me but the people around me, and how much my life would be different, and hopefully in a good way, but worried about things that might change between personal relationships and stuff like that. But I can honestly say that I have never made a better decision, and it's still a process that's ongoing. I was reminded today that it's still something that I'm very much working at and conscious of. You know, nothing came completely perfect in 2 years. But I think even having this show right now is great, because it was like today I kind of needed a reminder that I'm still in the process of the shift of this choice. And it's, you know, still going positive, and I have to stay positive through it. And that's something that I would then, you know, hand out as advice to everyone. Was to quote one of my favorite authors, William Shakespeare, to thy own self be true. While you're doing this, whatever change you're deciding to make for yourself, be true to yourself and know why you're doing it. You know, it's, you know, for me, it was definitely not just for physical reasons. There was like a health issue that I needed to take care of. And to keep that in mind, and for some of maybe the people who might freak out a little because you're changing, because sometimes it bugs the others around you to just, you know, understand that it might, but just to keep yourself as positive as you possibly can through it all, and to know why you're doing it, and to be honest and support yourself and surround yourself with those that support you, and, you know, keep it like that. Keep it all together.
I like that, Allison, because, you know, I guess I know firsthand with my husband. I mean, he went through a lot of weight issues and things like that. So you're starting off talking about the weight loss surgery and all that. So, you know, I understand your journey, and I know firsthand all about it. So I sympathize with you, and I know what a challenge and what a struggle it is, and how big a part of the inner shift it really is. So applaud you for doing that and for going through that, because it is huge. And, you know, I've seen it, and I've seen my husband go up and down, and, you know, it's a real struggle. So, you know, it's great that you're sharing that, because I think a lot of people do struggle with that. So, thank you.
Yes. And now I'd like to hand it over to my very best friend and soulmate.
You ever again, Endor Alex? You still got 50 seconds, though, guys. we're doing our breaks tight here. Here, I thought I was going to talk about my own weight loss surgery and the shift with my friends, but we already go enough about that on the show. I really had to sit here in the last few minutes and think about it, and I don't think it necessarily has to do with those changes right now. I think in the last 2 weeks, my shift is just shifting even more into a different gear, because I lost my job Thursday after spending 8 of the last 10 years, 12 years trying, and just going to Mexico and taking a vacation for the first time in my life that I've never
done
before.
It was very lovely. We had a great time. I recommend Riviera Maya to everyone.
And knowing how to, like, let go and relax after, and not having to worry about everything, because I'd been laid off previously. So I knew what to expect, but I was scared to expect the old me to react. And learning how to be, to shift my perspective on this layoff and deal with the finances of it, and deal with the whole, just all the issues you had to deal with doing something like this, or having something like this happen to you, where you don't, you know, your paycheck's not going to be steady anymore, and you know you have to figure out if you're going to get, you know, health benefits or not, and, you know, what if this happens, and all the what ifs coming into it, and just being able to get on a plane the day after and just go on vacation and just say, I'm not going to think about this. And I'm going to come back to the States, and, you know, it's still going to be here. I'm still going to have to deal with it, but I'm going to deal with it in the way that is different, and I'm going to shift away. And I've never been a planner, but now I'm writing. I just brought in my list of stuff.
I'm looking at it. It's beautiful.
My post-Ma Bell and my post-Mexico goals and things to do, and I have lists of everything, and just to try to stay on task and remember what I was doing, because I felt so inspired when I was relaxed down there and you were at Tulum and I got to sit at the cabana all day drinking Sauvignon Blanc. All this stuff was just coming into my head, but it wasn't like a rush of fear, and it wasn't a rush of I have to do this, or a rush of worry. It was just this rush of inspiration that I wanted to do for the show and for my writing and things like that. And I think one of the biggest things is learning to just let go, and learning to trust yourself, and learning to trust in the greater good. And I think with everything that's happening economically in the world and socially and culturally, it's so easy to get caught up into that. And I just learned to step away from that. Be aware. Don't, like, put your head in the sand and say, no, this thing is not an issue, or women's rights is an issue, or there's nothing going on. But also you don't have to give into the collective mindset of the fear. If you can step away from that fear, your own fear of what's happening in your life and what's happening in the world, and see the greater good and trust in the greater good and trust in the greater good of yourself, trust in the faith in yourself, not just the universe, but a faith in yourself that you can rise above this, and that there is a great, if you keep focused on your own greater good, and then that can affect the greater good of what this whole shift means, that the world may just shift or is going to shift into a different mindset, and the paradigms we're used to, the economic and the social and the religious paradigms we're used to, are going to shift for the better. And if you can stay focused on that, even if you can't, even if you're like feeling crappy about yourself, maybe you could feel good about the world or something like that. Maybe something like that will just change your mindset. And doing the lily pad thing, if you and all that, just, you know, even do mini shifts. Like if you're having a bad day, like you, we can have many times, just shift into the better feeling, like, you know, the Hicks say and all that stuff. And, you know, there's my piece.
Bravo, friend.
Oh, Alex, you know, it's I always love listening to the two of you on air because, well, particularly you, Alex, you're always the optimist. I guess you're a man after my own heart because, you know, I'm always believing that anything is possible, and you just,
yeah,
you're always the glass half full kind of guy. So I
definitely
appreciate that.
I wasn't always like that. I was very not like that growing up and even a few years ago.
Well, that's good that you've mastered it, because I think that's one of the keys to really kind of making your life fly, you know. It's all about having faith and trust in, you know, yourself and also, you know, the powers that be, whatever we do call that, whether it be source or God or whatever. I mean, we just, you know, need to have faith that things are working out the way that they should be. So I always love to get your little glass half full piece, especially tonight. So, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to move on to the next caller, but that was fantastic, and I think we got some rave reviews in the chat room about the two of you, that you're cute and adorable, which I agree. All right. Okay, so the next caller, let me see. We have the beautiful Linda Sachs.
Oh, Michelle, I love you. I love you even more than I did 5 seconds ago. Is that possible?
Oh, wow.
Wow. I want to thank you so much, first of all, for the idea of this show, because I'm just loving listening to everyone and getting to know everybody else's perspective, which is really, there's a lot of good stuff coming out of here. I now have mini shifts and lily pad in my back pocket. So about me, my shift really has been an energetic shift, and it wasn't until the past 4 or 5 months that I realized my whole life was really a series of gradual shifts that were bringing me to a shift that was so huge and dynamic that it really blew me away. The shift is personal and very spiritual. It all has and had to do with me being true to myself, living my path, and finding my purpose, which I think deep down inside I always knew when I was very young, but somehow I just kind of swept it under the rug. I was a baby in my family. I was a little girl after many years, and I was a little princess, and I went out to please everybody else and became that people pleaser, that nice girl that was always smiling and making everyone else happy. Fast forward to living in 5 different cities until the age of 52, also getting divorced and a lot of other life stuff happening, where there were many different jobs that I had lived through in my life and shifted different careers, and none of them were really that dream that I had buried probably because of a lot of fear, as some of your other hosts were mentioning. I can't even remember who now. There's such great stuff that's been said. But really what happened with me, with my shift, was about 6 months ago when, even well before that, when Michelle and I had connected, it was like Michelle was my angel and was sent to me. Because in my 20s, I can remember myself thinking back, if I could close my eyes, one day I'm going to have my own talk show. And I'm going to talk myself silly that the whole world's going to know who I am, and along came Oprah. And I remember I would watch Joan London on the morning show when I was pregnant back in my 20s, and I never really allowed myself to believe that I could do anything like that. Well, sure enough, I started the radio show months back, about 6 months, 7 months back, and about a month or two into it, I started, with a lot of other stuff happening in my life, though, I started getting sick. And physically, all of a sudden, I realized ear infections and sinus infections and things that threw me into bed for a matter of 7 weeks. I'm a healthy girl. My weight is relatively good. I do a lot of yoga. I've never really had anything like this, and I just couldn't understand. So the shift for me, I believe, from the bottom of my heart, was slowly, 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 because I'm also very angelically connected. I'm not embarrassed. I'm glad CJ's here to be able to really step into my own power, which is really what this is all about, and say that I do believe that my angels are my best guides. And I'm very blessed. I have a lot of wonderful people on this earth that I'm close to, loved ones and dear friends. But when I really do need to get my answers, I sit really quiet. Very often it's at the beach, the ocean, and the angels come to me and right through them because I allow them. So basically, in a nutshell, my personal experience was all energetic. It was time for me to step into my power, and I couldn't find sidebars and ways to run from it anymore, which I'd realized I've been doing my whole life. My dream was to live in California, to be by the ocean, a Canadian without immigration status or a visa. The miracle started happening. The visa came. I lock, stock, and barrel sold my house at age 52 as a single woman with two adult daughters, followed one to Los Angeles and said, "This is it. I'm going to make my dream happen." And there was a lot of fear along the way. What happened in December and January was I ended up literally zonked in bed, because I do believe from the bottom of my heart that the universe finally said, "Okay, Linda, it's enough running. It's your time now. This is it, and it's time for you to really step up." So that's really my personal experience. Wow, you talk about my best advice. Well, you know, after living in so many different cities and really knowing that the shifts were going all the way along, I would definitely say a consciousness shift, acceptance for sure. My best advice, honor yourself and your past. Don't worry about your future and what's going to be unraveling and happening today, tomorrow, next year, next month. Money fear, where's the money going to come from? Try to just take really long, deep breaths, live in the present, let go, and surrender. Everybody else talked about faith and trust. I think that's really huge. Obviously, we know fear, the opposite of fear is trust. So we definitely do need to acknowledge the fear. My other few, I do have a few more, so just indulge me. Making personal quiet time, that was really huge for me, being able to just be still, going to the ocean and just sitting there and looking out and saying, okay, you're entitled to have these big, huge dreams. You're good enough. You can do this. And if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else ever will. So that shift of me going into nature and just being very present and asking my angels for all the advice and just giving me the guidance, take me to the next step. Whenever I'm doing anything that's media connected, there's such a rush and a charge within me that I know deep down inside, and I always knew, and I believe we all do know, it's honoring ourselves. So that's my story. Hello, Michelle?
Oh,
hello.
Sorry about that.
Did anyone hear anything I said, or did I just log out right at the end?
No, that was on my end. Sorry. I had my headset. I think I hit the mute button on my headset, so sorry.
Lady.
Sorry about that.
I have had this happen once before. You promised me this was never happening again.
Well, we heard everything you said.
Okay,
no, we definitely did. It was just on my end.
Wonderful.
I was the one muted. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, Linda, I've known a lot about your backstory, so I know firsthand a lot of the, you know, the leaps you've taken, and, you know, it's quite an amazing story, to say the least. I mean, you've
mm-hmm.
been through a lot, and you know, the words of wisdom you gave, some of them are really great points, like you know, making time for yourself, you know, having that personal space. That's one of the main things that I think is so important, and you know, I personally do that in my own life, and I have to in order to keep going, because we need to kind of have that recharge, that time. You know, because life can be so draining, and there's so many people in our life that we have to, you know, intertwine with. So I think that's definitely one of the key takeaway pieces from what you said, for sure.
Well, what I really wanted to put across, because I'm listening to everybody else who's coming from a different perspective, Mine was really very personal and very energetic, and there wasn't a lot of theory to it. There's just an awful lot of heart to us all learning to just live our truth and understand that we are all about energy, and energetically we really need to be conscious of what's happening within us, around us, and most often with all the shifts, economically, financially, family shifts, whatever, we tend to put that on the back burner. So that was really my lesson, that if once I'm happy and I'm living my passions and everyone that's associated with me and around me, it'll be just, you know, that spillover effect. So thank you for giving me the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Linda. I mean, it's always a pleasure to hear what you have to say, for sure, because, you know, you've definitely lived it and you definitely have words to share. So it's always good to hear you speak. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Okay, so we have another host, and I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulty on her end, so we're going to wait for her to pop back in the queue. And while we do, you know, we're going to have a little bit of time today because another host last minute could not call in, so I think we're going to have some time to kind of open up the floor and let everyone maybe do a little Q&A with each other and things like that. So maybe what I'll do is while we're waiting for the other host to call in, we can open up the phone line. So let's do that right now. Let's see what we've got. Okay, so we've got Heather, Linda,
yes.
Alex, and Allison, and CJ.
Hi.
And
yep.
I'm here. So, okay, so we're waiting for Sarah to call back in. I don't see her in the queue, so I'm not sure if she's having technical difficulties or what's going on. But we'll so do you have any questions for each other? I guess that's the question on the table.
Well, I don't know. This is CJ. I don't know if I have a question, but I'm just listening to everybody's stories. You know, what I wanted to mention is that, you know, each one of us in our own way, and this is true of everyone, is in the midst of tremendous potentials for shift, you know, all of the time. And the way that we get through this a lot easier is through the sharing of those stories, being able to communicate, you know, what we've been through, how we figured out our way through the muck and the mire of those, you know, experiences of how we kind of get stuck in that. And I just something I wanted to mention, because I'm obviously real big on, you know, we're all interconnected, and as we shift, so shifts others. And so I just think it's wonderful, because a lot of times people who are out there listening to all of our shows, you know, they have times when they feel lonely, alone. This is only, you know, what's happening to me and no one else. And that's just so not true. And I'm sure, you know, any of you can chime in on that one. You know, it's happening everywhere.
Okay, I want to grab this chance. CJ, that was amazing. Like Michelle was saying, it's Linda, by the way. My story is so huge that what happened with me, what started my major shift, what made me, really got me sick, was I work with a lot of energy professionals, and a friend of mine was trying to help me, guide me with a little bit of weight loss, weight that I just wasn't able to shed, which was something I was holding on to. And she said, I will help you. The first exercise was to journal with my left hand, my non-dominant hand. I walked into it so trusting that for 3 days, I wrote like half a journal full of things from my life that I could not even remember ever even happening to me. It's now 4 months later, and she finally turned around and said to me, you know that once I was telling you to do this, I knew you were going to get sick, because there was a lot of past stuff that just needed to clear. So it's all about release. Had I have known, I don't know if I would have journaled with my left hand. But my story is really an interesting one. And I share with all my friends now. I talk nonstop. I'm an open book, because I realize it is all energy that goes into our cells that we really need to release, you know, if it's negative, and we shouldn't be holding on to it. It accumulates. So thank you for saying that.
Well, and I appreciate you. You know, a lot of people are manifesting illnesses right now.
Right.
A a lot of my clients are major health challenges. And because we store all of this at a cellular level, because of these things that get pushed down, the only way that the body can take that space, like you were talking about, personal space every day, and quiet time is very important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the only way, even though in hindsight, of course, we'd love to manifest maybe learning things a little easier than that process, because a lot of things are challenged, lots of fears, fear of our mortality even. The things like, as those things are coming up, but I just appreciate you sharing, getting into health crisis, because that's a big thing right now as well for people.
My whole life I never made that connection. I like to give other people a chance to talk, but the health thing was really huge for me, because I thought I knew so much, and I didn't realize that I hadn't had an ear infection since I was a child. So I'm a believer of Louise Hay. So I went back and looked about the ears, and it's all about not wanting to hear. Mm-hmm. So our nose is in between our the crown of our head and our heart. So, all that stuff we want to get rid of gets stuck in our nose for people that suffer with sinuses. It's fascinating what we learn when we're open. So,
hey, this is Heather. I just wanted to really chime in with what you two are talking about. I actually made the decision about a month ago to be vegetarian, and it has been a real game changer for me. And I never thought, if you knew how much steak I have eaten in my life, to walk away from all
bless
of that.
Yourself.
And, well, it's just, having issues with dairy and wheat and all that other stuff, and I have to tell you, it's been really interesting, because now that I have meat completely out of my system, I can have wheat and dairy, and it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, yeah, because I was talking to Allison about that in Mexico, about I'm trying to make the same connection because I read the Body Ecology Diet and about food combining.
Yeah, I read that one.
Like that.
I'm doing it in L.A.
What was that?
I said I'm doing it in L.A.
Oh, Linda, you are?
Yes, and I just did a juice cleanse. Absolutely. My life is all now about coconut oil. I've gotten rid of soy, wheat, gluten. Talk about clean and mean and green. It is the best thing you will ever do for yourself. You will see your skin is feeling better. Your energy will increase. This is a great shift conversation. This is a show in itself.
Yeah, because I'm also, what introduced it to me besides Hay House Radio and Donna was I listened to Caroline Sutherland.
Okay,
and the body knows how to heal itself. And she's actually on Blog Talk Radio now, and she follows me, which is cool. But, I was starting to really explore that, because after my own weight loss surgery and stuff, it was like, what am I going to eat now? What am I going to do? I haven't fully implemented it for sure, and Mexico was a Fiesta del food failure for me. But
there is something, it's a process and a journey for sure. Yeah, there is something huge about learning to love your body. So that talk about a shift, that this is all about learning to love ourselves and our body image.
Yeah.
And we're a package deal.
And I wanted to mention something. This is CJ. I wanted to mention something. A lot of people don't realize that, because I was talking about in the chat, about losing weight and taking care of my vessel and, lean and green, as Linda said. Yeah. But in my family, generationally, all of us have suffered from manic depression, just terrible, terrible from the time we're teens until we're adults. Gluten became the culprit.
Wow.
In fact, once we were all off of gluten, then my daughters weren't effectively bipolar type 2 anymore. Nutrition for the body, and because gluten is very difficult to process. And they did a study in Switzerland about it. For anybody out there who suffers from that, give it a try. Go wheat and gluten free and see if it improves your mood, because they determined that as the body improperly digests the gluten, that it creates neuropeptides that uptake to the serotonin receptors, our happy, fun, receptors in the brain.
Right.
And it basically blocks all those receptors. So even if your body's producing adequate serotonin, which depression is often looked at as serotonin deficiency, they may be producing it, but they can never, absorb any of it, because those receptors are taken. They're full. So,
holy crap. I didn't know that. I've had depression my whole life.
I've gotten fascinated with the link between gluten and autism and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
I
cringe whenever I see parents, like I was at a Panera the other day and a parent was feeding her child orange juice and a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, her poor pancreas. Daughter's poor pancreas.
Yeah.
I don't like Panera anyway. Their stuff is too sweet. But
Okay, guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do have Sarah on the line. So we have about 5 minutes left, so we're going to give Sarah the floor so she can tell her side of things. We had some technical difficulties. So, Sarah, take it away.
Hi, everybody. I'm hearing some echoing, but I'm not going to mess with the show anymore because it's difficult for me to get on. But getting back to the shift, I'm just going to have to say something that really I was, like Lady Gaga, born this way. I was born with the spirituality right from the word go. And for me growing up, it was a natural state of mind, a natural state of being. So, you know, it's something that for me that has always been me. And I had the opposite effect. I had a very hard time in actually living with my humanity. Being human as such a spiritual being was really, really hard to deal with, quite honestly. And for me, it's always been something that I've been an intuitive, I've been a reader, I've always been the spiritual counselor, and it doesn't matter what else I did in my life, you know, I've been a fashion designer, had my own store, I've been an electric motor developer, I've run restaurants, I'm a mother of three, but no matter what I did, everything was always done with that spiritual base and that ability to see people's blockages and to help them move forward into their possibilities. So, you know, I've had like a roller coaster life of things that have happened to me, like everyone has. Moved many countries, you know, married, divorced, three kids, cat, dog, etc. Successful marriage, successful businesses, failed businesses. But everything has always come back to me in this soul awakening. And really, I'm a light worker. I'm a soul awakener. And the shift for me is all about shifting people's perspective, shifting people's consciousness, having them look in and understanding who they are, understanding the chemistry, the DNA of their personalities, understanding and how to listen to their souls, their spirits, their hearts. When you do live in that spiritual self, you are actually living in that wholeness of trust. Fear doesn't belong there. When you are so at one with the soul, the heart, the spirit, the mind is at peace, and fear just doesn't find its way in there. You do things in trust. You do things in that faith. Stepping forward in life is something that you have to give yourself permission to do. And give permission to those around you that are able to take your hand and move you forward. It is all about letting go, letting the clamps off. Leap forward in that faith. Step forward into that abyss, in that trust. And know that in that love, in that godly spiritual source power, you will be caught and you will be guided to your purpose, to the very essence of who you're meant to be and how you're meant to live this life. I am physically a woman of poverty. Wealth is not something that visits me, and if it does, it doesn't stay long. But I am a woman full of inner worth, inner value. Hence the reason why my company is called The Importance of You and why my segment is called You're Important to Me. I believe that our wealth actually belongs to us in our soul truth, in that soul, heart, spirit connection. I believe that if we live in that wealth and we use that purpose and we find our calling and we move forward in it, the abundance that we feel within will be rewarded in the sustainability of our being and of our life. So for me, it's very, very important that we raise our vibration. The consciousness of this whole, 2012 is that we have to raise the vibration of the consciousness. We no longer must accept what the world is doing to us, what the politicians, what the dying in the name of religion is doing to us. And we have to step forward in ownership of self, and we have to step forward in that raised vibration, good, good, good vibrations, as the Beach Boys would say. And we have to embrace that, live in it, lift it up, raise the frequency of the world. And in doing that, we will awaken everyone's soul, we'll awaken everyone's spirit, and we will live in that peace and that tranquility, because that's where the spirit does live. I've listened to everyone here today, and I'm so sorry I couldn't get into that communicative conversation with you, and all of you are a great inspiration. Please keep up your work. Please keep awakening people. We need more souls alive. We need more spirits flying, and we need more good vibrations.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Wow, I mean, that, you know, saved the best for last, I think. I mean, such closing remarks, and I'm completely blown away. I mean, you've had, I mean, just a short four-minute window, you had a little bit less than everyone else, but, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better closing. Thank you so much for all of that. Wow.
Oh, pleasure, pleasure. Thank you for listening.
So I guess I'm going to open up the phones just to say goodbye to everyone and take you all off mute. So thank you, all of my beautiful hosts. I mean, you're not just a part of the team. You're definitely now, you know, a part of my family. And
I'm going to say we're your children.
Well, in a way, you know, I cherish every one of you, yeah. And I think that you are all a part of this puzzle that I'm building. So, I'm blessed every day to be able to get up and produce all of your fantastic shows and get your messages out there to the world. So, thank you, and have
and we're just
to you
getting
all.
Started, Michelle. We're just getting
yes.
started.
Yes,
yeah,
remember, it's a prerequisite. You've all got to be a little bit crazy to do this, so let's embrace our craziness and just fly.
Amen.
I'm
I agree, Sarah.
Yeah.
And you're going to take us all to Australia, right? Okay, good. Let's go.
Maui. We were talking about Maui in the chat room.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, so
somewhere.
We can run into Wayne Dyer.
Yeah. I'm not far away. We're not far away.
Yeah. He wants us to go find him when he jogs or he swims. He said it on a show. I will quote him.
See, we can start at the base in San Diego and work our way to Hawaii.
Yeah. We're not that far. We can just jump on a plane and be there in an hour.
I'm saying.
Well, I love all of you. This is CJ. This is fun.
Yeah,
great idea, Michelle.
Oh, you know what? We're going to have to do this again. We're definitely going to have to do this again, but I also want to say, you know, hats off to all of you, because you really did a great job tonight. And, you know, I think that the listeners will get so much out of this episode. And it might even have to be something we do regularly, because it was really great.
I think we should.
And
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Once a month. Thank you, round table.
Yeah, once a month. Once a month, definitely.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to end it here. We're off air, but it's still recording, but I guess it'll be a little bit of a long
the
so, but thanks, thank you, guys. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Michelle. Good night to everybody. I got to run.
All right.
Bye, Heather.
Bye. And thanks very much for putting this on, Michelle.
No problem.
Bye.
My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
That was really great.